come to order. Will members please indicate their presence by voting? Has any member failed to indicate their presence by voting? Will the clerk please take the roll?
38 members present.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. No members are excused from the call of the House today.
Will the members please rise for the invocation by Reverend Mark Brocker, Resurrection Lutheran Church.
Let us pray. God, our Creator, on this beautiful day, we praise and thank you for the goodness of creation, and we thank you especially for the natural wonders and resources of Alaska. Instill in each one of us a deep respect and appreciation for all that you have given us. We marvel that you saw fit to make us stewards of your creation. Give these representatives and our other leaders the wisdom and sensitivity they need to fulfill their special responsibility for the wonders and resources of Alaska, so that no one may suffer from our abuse of them, and so that future Alaskans may enjoy them as we are privileged to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Representative Martin.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent to prayer be spread on the journal.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the prayer will be spread on the journal. Will the clerk please certify the journal for the 92nd legislative day?
As chief clerk, I certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 92nd day.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the journal for the 92nd legislative day and journal supplement number 124 be approved as certified by the chief clerk.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Are there guests for introduction? Representative Larson.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representing the Family Community Leadership Project, we have four individuals here today that are constituents of Representative Locker and myself. From Sutton, we have Rita Fault. Rita, would you stand up, please? From Palmer, we have Nancy Rowland. Nancy? And also from Sutton, we have Lynn Woods and her daughter, Marnice, who's a sophomore at Palmer High. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Kopanen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. With the same program, we have Pat Silverton from Fairbanks.
Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Also, Representative Fritz and I have a constituent friend in town with the Family Community Leadership Program over in Gallery 8, Neva Black.
Representative Ward.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery A, Representative Martin and myself also have a constituent with the Family Community Leadership Project, Glenn Ray.
Further guests for introduction. Messages from the governor.
I have none, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the Senate.
Mr. Speaker, the Senate accepts the invitation to meet in joint session April 10, Tuesday at 2 p.m. to consider the governor's line item vetoes on Senate committee substitute for committee substitute for House Bill numbers 635 Finance, 636 Finance, 637 Finance, and 691 Finance, the special appropriation bills. The Senate approved the citation honoring Larry Carr, and it is transmitted for consideration, and also approved the citation honoring Diana Murphy, and this one was sent to enrolling. The Senate has passed House Concurrent Resolution number 52 with the following amendment. Senate Committee Substitute for House Concurrent Resolution number 52, Labor and Commerce, poor economic condition of Alaska coastal communities, and it is returned for consideration. The Senate passed House Bill number 135, Court Leave for Non-Permanent and Temporary Employees of the State, and it is returned. This bill has been sent to enrolling. The Senate has passed the following, and it is transmitted for consideration. Senate Bill number 513 by the Rules Committee by request of the Legislative Council for the Code Revision Commission, an act relating to renunciation of rights in decedents' estates.
Senate Bill 513 is referred to the Judiciary Committee.
I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Other communications?
I have none, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of standing committees.
The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 188 relating to big game hunting by non-residents under consideration, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 188 Finance with the same title, reports it back as follows with a zero fiscal note. The report was signed by Mr. Adams, Chairman, signing Dupass, Bettesworth, Hurlburt, and Fritz. Having no recommendation, Adams, Martin, Furness, Grusendorf, and Jaroff. House Bill 188 has no further referral. The Committee on Labor and Commerce has had House Bill 704 relating to automobile clubs under consideration, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 704, Labor and Commerce, and recommends it do pass and attaches a zero fiscal note. The report was signed by Mr. Cowdery, Chairman, concurred in by Cowdery, Ringstead, Pestinger, and Euling. House Bill 704 has no further referral. The Committee on State Affairs is at House Bill 709, Fees for Guided Tours Through Historical Sites under consideration, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 709, State Affairs with the same title, recommends it do pass and attaches a zero fiscal note. The report was signed by Mr. Abood, Chairman, concurred in by Abood, M.M. Miller, and Larson. Locker has no recommendation. House Bill 709 has no further referral. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of special committees.
The House Special Committee on State Loans is at House Bill 574, relating to state loan programs under consideration, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 574, Loans, with the same title, reports it back as follows, and also submits four new fiscal notes. The report was signed by Mr. Euling, Chairman, signing Dupass, Euling, Ward, and Pestinger, having no recommendation, Furness and Wente. House Bill 574 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. I have no further special committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of citations and resolutions.
I have none, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction, first reading, and reference of bills.
Sponsor substitute for House Bill 670 by Locker, an act relating to runaway minors.
Sponsor substitute for House Bill 670 is referred to the Health, Education, and Social Services, Judiciary, and Finance Committees.
I have no further bills for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
This brings us to consideration of the daily calendar. Will the clerk please read the first item on today's calendar?
House Bill 693 by the Rules Committee by request of the Legislative Council for the Code Revision Commission, an act relating to principal and income of trusts and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Judiciary has had House Bill 693 under consideration, recommends it do pass and attaches a zero fiscal note. The report was signed by Mr. Bussell, Chairman, concurring by Barnes, Liska, Hayes, and Bussell, having no recommendation, Wente and Clarkson. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent that House Bill 693 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Is there debate? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
Question is, shall House Bill 693 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk, may take the roll.
38 yeas, no nays.
House Bill 693 has passed the House. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Moving to ask unanimous consent, the roll call vote on passage House Bill 693 be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Will the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar? Representative Fritz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May we revert briefly to the introduction of guests?
Without objection, we'll revert to introduction of guests. Representative Fritz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In the gallery behind me is a lady, Christine Williams, who is a constituent of both Representative Malone and myself. She's from Kasilof, and her husband, Lindsay, and she run a youth ranch down in that area. Her husband was chaplain for the Alyeska Pipeline Service. Would you help me welcome her, please? She will stand.
Clerk, please read the next item on today's calendar.
House Bill 694 by the Rules Committee by request of the Legislative Council for the Code Revision Commission, an act relating to administration of decedents' estates and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Judiciary has had House Bill 694 under consideration, recommends it do pass and attaches a zero fiscal note. The report was signed by Mr. Bussell, Chairman, concurred in by Liska, Hayes, Barnes, and Bussell, having no recommendation, Wente and Clarkson. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that House Bill 694 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Is there objection? Representative Davis.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Could I have a brief at ease?
House, please stand at ease. Will the clerk please read House Bill 694 for the third time?
House Bill number 694 by the Rules Committee by request of the Legislative Council for the Code Revision Commission, an act relating to administration of decedents' estates and providing for an effective date.
Is there debate?
Question.
Are you ready for the question? Representative Abood.
Thank you, Mr. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to have someone explain to me, if possible, what this homestead $27,000 exemption is. Is that just for people that homesteaded this country? Or what? I don't understand what we're doing. I wish somebody explained it to me. May I get an explanation, Mr. Speaker?
Representative Bussell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I don't know that I can explain the homestead exemption to his satisfaction, but this bill it just simply adjusts the inflation amounts for the Uniform Probate Code that's in existence right now. It hasn't been adjusted since 1972. It was $12,000 in 72. It raises it to $27,000 under this change in the present code. We're not creating anything. We're just adjusting the prices throughout the bill.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall House Bill 694 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
39 yeas, no nays.
House Bill 694 has passed the House. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent the roll call vote on passage of House Bill 694 be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Will the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
House Bill 697 by the Rules Committee by request of the Legislative Council for the Code Revision Commission, an act relating to the uniform disposition of certain property rights at death. The Committee on Judiciary has had the bill under consideration and recommends it do pass and attaches a zero fiscal note. The report was signed by Mr. Bussell, Chairman, concurred in by Liska, Hayes, Barnes, and Bussell, having no recommendation, Wente and Clarkson. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent that House Bill 697 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Will the clerk please read the bill for the third time?
House Bill number 697 by the Rules Committee by request of the Legislative Council for the Code Revision Commission, an act relating to the uniform disposition of certain property rights at death.
Is there debate?
Question.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall House Bill 697 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? The clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? The clerk may take the roll.
39 yeas, no nays.
House Bill 697 has passed the House. Will the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
Citation honoring National Consumers Week by Representatives Duncan and McBride.
Representative Duncan.
Mr. Speaker, I move approval of the citation.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the citation is approved. Will the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
Citation honoring Jenny Flunat by Representatives Gall and McBride.
Representative Gall.
Move the citation and ask unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the citation is approved. Clerk, please read the next item on today's calendar.
Citation honoring Tadeo Inumaro by Representative Flood.
Representative Flood.
I'd like to move the citation, Mr. Speaker, and ask that all members be shown as co-sponsors and ask for unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the citation is approved, and all other members of the House will be shown as co-sponsors. Will the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
Citation honoring the Tlingit Haida and Simpson Celebration 84 by Representatives Gall, M.M. Miller, Duncan, Davis, Jaroff, Wente, McBride, Vasca, Kopen, and Ward, Grusendorf, and Herman, and Senators Ray and Ziegler.
Representative Gall.
Move the citation and ask unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the citation is approved. This brings us to the end of today's calendar and to unfinished business. Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'd like to ask that Representative Kopen be excused from the call on Friday through Monday.
Is there objection? Hearing none, Representative Kopen is excused as requested. Further unfinished business. Announcement of committee meetings. Representative Adams.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Finance will meet 5 minutes after the adjournment of the joint session.
Representative Fuller.
Mr. Speaker, the Rules Committee meeting for Wednesday, April 11th has been canceled.
Representative Abood.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There will be a House Majority Caucus at 1 o'clock this afternoon in the Speaker's chambers.
Representative Blussel.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Being as the scheduled joint session this afternoon is going to interfere with the judiciary meeting, we'd like to continue the time for that meeting to a half hour after the joint session is over with. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Herman.
Mr. Speaker, the Special Committee on Fisheries work session is canceled for today.
Representative Ewling.
Yes, this afternoon the Special Committee on State Loans will be meeting at 5 o'clock in the Resources Room to finish up work on both bills from yesterday, HB 689 and SB 362.
There is a joint session at 2 o'clock this afternoon to deal with the governor's vetoes. So we will recess until 1:45 when we finish today's business. One announcement I would like to make so that some of you may plan ahead. After discussion this morning with the president of the other body, it is our intention that we will not have session on Good Friday, which is next Friday, April 20th, and that the session for the following Monday, which would be the 23rd, would be sometime around 2 o'clock in the afternoon. That hasn't been firmed up yet, so that members will be able to take a long Easter weekend, the 20th, 21st, and 22nd, and having session convened sometime on Monday afternoon. Further announcements? Special orders? Representative Malone?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Before we move on to special orders, could I have a brief at ease, please?
House, please stand at ease. Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, there will be a House Democratic Caucus on the motion to recess or adjourn the regular session for the day following this morning's session.
Further announcements? Representative Barnes. Special orders. Representative Miller.
Not sure whether this should have been special orders or unfinished business or hopefully announcements, but with your permission, I'll speak on the a committee session that we respectfully request happens. Mr. Speaker, the Senate, as you know, sent us Senate Bill 78, which is a piece of legislation dealing with finality in teacher negotiations. And, of course, that committee assignments for that bill included labor and commerce, health, education, social services, and finance, which is a fairly formidable but certainly not an impossible committee assignment for it to face, Mr. Speaker. The suggestion we'd like to make, and we ask it in all due respect, is that for next week, as the committee chairmen are now preparing for their Thursday assignments for committee hearings next week, we would like to suggest that the Labor and Commerce Committee Chair and the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee Chair discuss the possibility of joint hearings on this legislation. Otherwise, we could end up seeing the clock run out or almost run out on this legislation. But if there were joint hearings held perhaps as early as next week, by the first two committees of referral for that bill, Mr. Chairman, I think it would have two advantages. Number one, the legislation would be expedited so it could be considered on the floor of this House. Number two, perhaps equally important, both of these committees of first referral would have the opportunity to receive the same input, be reading off the same script, and it would probably just make for a lot more sense. So that's our suggestion to those two committee chair people, Mr. Speaker. Thank you.
Representative Ward.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like the privilege of the floor to speak on urges protection of fund.
Yeah, the floor, Representative Ward.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Yesterday, I made an announcement that I would hope that the governor of the state of Alaska would come forth with some form of an authorization before he continued his attempt to build the legislative hall in Juneau, Alaska. Mr. Speaker, Late after the session yesterday, there was a transmittal letter to the president of the other body and a Senate bill, Senate Bill 547, which all members should have a copy of their desks now. It not only talks about the Juneau State Government Office Building for $75 million, but it lists $309 million of a total. And I find it very amazing, Mr. Speaker, that yes, on the same date that the transmittal letter was signed by the governor of the state of Alaska, on April the 9th, he talks spending, indebting $309 million through this, he calls it creative financing within his press release, and I call it an in-run on the Constitution, because that's exactly what it is. I noticed on the same date in the Anchorage Times, Sheffield urges fund protection, and he brags, or well, the brags, if that's not the proper word, it might be another word, but he says, Sheffield said he expects to have completed depositing the $300 million by mid-1985. Mr. Speaker, what we have here is we have a real problem. On one hand, somebody is, the governor is pretending, in my mind, to be saving money for future generations, and on the other hand, he's attempting to indebt those very same future generations. That's why we have a constitution of the state of Alaska. That's why this year, upon its face, I can't possibly see how this was written to be unconstitutional because the governor never expected it to go through the system, and it won't. There's no way that it will. Even a layman such as myself can see through the fallacies of this type of legislation. And, Mr. Speaker, the project last night at the Juneau Assembly was held off. They did not consider it, at least up till 11 o'clock at night. And then I went to sleep. But I don't think that they did. But, Mr. Speaker, the project, there has been an agreement. We will be getting that agreement that was struck, I don't know any other way to put it, between Commissioner Knapp and the mayor of Juneau and the people that own Juneau Motors. I do not have the details of that agreement yet, but nevertheless, an agreement was reached. That agreement was made in your name, Mr. Speaker, in my name, and all the citizens of the state of Alaska, because it is the intention for the public to pay for that legislative hall. I will have the agreement, and I will be reporting back on that agreement once I have it in more detail. I don't know what it is yet. Apparently, the public has agreed to it through the governor. And once we have that as a public document, it will be disclosed to this body. Mr. Speaker, to say I'm saving $300 million in the permanent fund, and then turn around and say, by the way, I'm borrowing it through bonded indebtedness, through a cute little backdoor in run here, to me is just a very blatant attempt to get us farther in debt and to pour some concrete on Telephone Hill. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Moving to ask unanimous consent, the House stand in recess to 1:45.
Object.
Representative Winty.
Under special orders, Mr. Speaker, one brief inquiry to you, sir. I noticed members of your caucus were distributing a letter for signature on the floor today indicating yes votes to adjourn on May 1st. Given your announcement on our schedule dealing with Easter, that gives us 16 legislative days left. Is it your intent to, and the leadership's intent to adjourn on May 1st and deal with a adjournment on the 1st of May?
Mr. Speaker?
Point of
information, actually. I apologize to the gentleman from Petersburg and Ketchikan at this time. I am circulating this list, and the speaker has not been privileged to the actual list as yet, but I myself have been pushing for a 90-day session, and I would hope he would join in me to get the state's businesses done so that the Speaker of the House and the President of the body could make an adjourning motion. And that's what this intent is for. He did not sign it, so I guess he wants to stay here. But, you know, I don't know. I hope we can join together, get the businesses done, and I was the one circulating the petition. And, you know, I'm for a shorter session. Since his name isn't on it, apparently he isn't. But I would hope that there would be enough people in here to get the business done at the state.
Representative Winty.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm glad for that clarification. I would continue, though, to ask, what is it your intent to adjourn by May 1st? And would I note that in reading the letter that it did not deal with getting the state's business done, because there obviously are major items left to be completed in this session. and all it did deal with, for all practical purposes, is a date. And I would hope that you will share with this body what your feeling is as the Speaker of this House and the leader of your coalition, what your intents are, so we can plan accordingly and expedite the passage of legislation that needs to be considered before we adjourn.
Representative Wente, as you are aware, the first 2 weeks of the legislative session, Senator Kutula, the Senate Finance Chairman, Senator Bennett, our Finance Chairman, Representative Adams, and myself held a joint press conference outlining a plan that we felt would put us on a so-called track for a 120-day session, sort of a trial run in view of the fact that that question will be before the voters in November for a constitutional amendment. That included getting the capital budget up to the governor's office by the 65th day and getting the operating budget to the governor between the 90th and 105th day. We did get the budget up to the governor by the 66th, and we anticipate having the operating budget up there very soon, as I'm sure you're also aware. So far as I know, that is still the plan. I've had no indication otherwise from the other body, and that's the course of action that the House is on at this time, unless we hear differently from the other body. Is there objection to the motion to recess until 1:45? Hearing none, the House stands in recess until 1:45.
Let's do a quorum call.
In order to establish a quorum, will members please indicate their presence by voting? Has any member failed to indicate their presence by voting? The clerk, please take the roll.
30 members present.
Unless there's objection, I'm going to ask the minority leader to move that we return back up the daily order of business to messages from the other body. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent we return to messages from the other body.
Is there objection? Will the clerk please read messages from the Senate?
Mr. Speaker, the Senate failed to concur in House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 438, Labor and Commerce, State Board of Registration for Architects, Engineers, and Land Surveyors with an effective date, and respectfully requests that the House recede from its amendment. In the event the House fails to recede, the President appointed a conference committee to meet with the like committee from the House to consider the bills. Senator Eliason, Chairman, Senator Mulcahy, and Senator Rohde. I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
In anticipation of the joint session, will the House please stand at ease? Will the House please come to order? In accord with the uniform rules, the President of the Senate presides over the body in joint session. So at this time, I will turn the gavel over to the President of the Senate, Senator Kutula.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Will the joint session please come to order? Will the Secretary of the Senate read the roll call of the Senate?
Senator Bennett?
Here.
Senator Eliason is excused from the call of the Senate. Senator Fahrenkamp?
Here.
Senator Fakes?
Here.
Senator Ferguson?
Here.
Senator Paul Fisher?
Here.
Senator Vic Bisher?
Here.
Senator Gilman?
Here.
Senator Hofford?
Here.
Senator Josephson?
Here.
Senator Kelly?
Here.
Senator Moss?
Here.
Senator Mulcahy?
Here.
Senator Pettyjohn?
Here.
Senator Ray?
Here.
Senator Rohde is absent. Senator Sackett?
Here.
Senator Sturgalewski?
Here.
Senator Ziegler?
Here.
Senator Kurtula?
Here.
The roll shows 18 senators present, one excused, and one absent.
Will the Speaker conduct the roll of the House?
Will members of the House please indicate their presence by voting? Has any member failed to indicate their presence by voting? Will the clerk please take the roll?
40 members present.
There's a quorum. Joint session is convened. I understand there's a guest for introduction, Representative Cowdery.
Thank you, Mr. President. We have an old-time Alaskan visiting us today. This lady's a very special lady in my life. I'd like the body to make welcome my mother. She's in Gallery B.
You have the floor, Representative Ward.
Thank you, Mr. President. And Gallery B, I'd like to introduce Marty Cineros, who's the Deputy District Governor of the Lions International District 49, and his wife, Janice. They're constituents of Representative Barnes and Furness and Senator Kelly and Halford, and I've worked on a lot of community activities with them. So please stand up in Gallery B.
Representative Vaskin, Representative Furness.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Sackett and I have two constituents who are RSVP students, one in each of our offices. Vernon Bavila from Good News Bay is in Senator Sackett's office, and Harry Lomack from Akachuk is in line in Gallery A.
Representative Furness.
Thank you, Mr. President. To the body, it gives me a great deal of pleasure introducing a longtime member of the banking community from Anchorage, Mr. Jim Smith, over in Gallery B.
Representative Wempty.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to bring attention to the body, a gracious lady known throughout the state of Alaska, Peggy Begich.
We welcome you here today. Senator A.
The introduction's over, Mr. President.
They are, Senator.
Could you state the reason we're meeting today?
Senator A. And we are meeting today on consideration of overriding the veto of four bills. The four bills are before us. You have the floor, Majority Leader Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 691, Finance, become law notwithstanding the Governor's veto, and I recommend that the members vote no. Mr. President, the reason I'm recommending that the members vote to sustain the Governor's veto of this bill can be found in an article on page 1 of the April 4th edition of the Anchorage Daily News. This article, entitled, quote, "The Governor Admits Deal to Protect His Budget Veto," stated, Governor Bill Sheffield stunned legislators and their staff members here Tuesday when he publicly acknowledged that he made a political deal with House minority members in order to shield his $235 million in public construction vetoes from a legislative override. Sheffield, under question at an afternoon press conference, acknowledged that he agreed not to veto public construction projects inserted in the state budget by 16 House minority members and one Senate member. In turn, they promised to support him against attempts by legislators to override his vetoes in a joint session. He said, their projects all stayed in the budget with some exceptions. Sheffield told reporters that the one way we encouraged them to prevent a veto override, under question at the same press conference, Sheffield's budget director, Jay Hogan, acknowledged that some of the minority projects might have been vetoed on their merits, but the arrangement protected them from the governor's red pen. Mr. President, the House minority members referred to by the governor at his press conference are Representative Don Clarkson, Representative Mike Davis, Representative Jim Duncan, Representative Joe Flood, Representative Peter Gall, Representative Nilo Kopanen, Representative Barbara Locker, Representative Ronald Larson, Representative Hugh Malone, Representative Jack McBride, Representative Mike Miller Juno, Representative Randy Phillips, Representative Mike Szymanski, Representative Anthony Vasca, Representative Ron Winty, Representative Fred Zaroff, as well as Senator Pat Rohde. Mr. President, Article 2, Section 16 of the State Constitution requires that three-fourths of the legislature or 45 of the 60 members concur in order to override a budget veto. Because the governor has admitted he made a deal with the 16 members of the House minority and with one Senate member, it will be mathematically impossible for us to override his veto of this bill. It is for this reason that I recommend that the members do not make a futile effort of overriding the veto, and at this time I relinquish the floor to Senator Don Bennett.
You can't relinquish the floor, but I will recognize Senator Bennett.
Thank you, Mr. President. For the members present here, the Senate has just voted on and passed Senate Bill 94, which has picked up all the items that were in the veto. This vehicle's on the way over to the other body. Consequently, we would ask that it be given fair consideration, and likewise the governor then in turn, hopefully without any considerations on parts of members of the legislature, will veto it or let it become law, or of course sign it into law based on the merits of the individual projects and programs. Thank you, Mr. President.
You have the floor, sir.
Mr. President, in the House of Representatives in Alaska, we have two groups, one group that's committed to reducing state spending and one that is not. And in the House, we have one group that is committed to responsible state spending and an end to pork barreling, and one group that is not. And I will leave it to the public to decide which group I belong to.
You have the floor, Senator Joseph.
Mr. President, I concur for my own reasons with the view of the House Majority Leader that this issue in terms of override is probably futile. I remain very unhappy with the vetoes Governor Sheffield cast. I think that they were not well considered. I think that the criticisms we received in some of the editorials in the newspapers don't understand the process that we went through in Anchorage to consult with the municipality, to have a public hearing process, to respect the priorities of the Anchorage School District and the Anchorage Assembly, and to bring the Anchorage Caucus together. There was an editorial in this morning's Daily News that talks about how some without political power didn't get anything in this bill. And that isn't true, because in the Senate side, the entire Anchorage Caucus felt that the allocation of monies in that bill were fair and respected the needs of every senator from every Anchorage district, whether Republican or Democrat or majority or minority. Now, Mr. President, this may seem like a dark day to some who follow Alaska government because there appears to be division at all sides. But in fact, we have a great opportunity here to work together. The governor will have several choices because of the legislation that the Senate Chairman of the Finance Committee on the Capitol side, Senator Bennett, referred to. He can, of course, accede to the budget items that will come back, assuming that the House acts on that bill promptly. We don't expect that he will accede to all those items. He can veto them all again, as he did before. I would hope and pray that he does not do that. Or in the next 15 days, he can meet with the legislative leadership on both sides of the aisle. He can designate the projects and legislation that we must have to get this session over with. He can accommodate the perceptions of legislators about what is needed in our districts that we know so well. And we can work together for the future of Alaska in an accommodation in which there is give and take by legislators and the governor alike, so that we are on the threshold of a great opportunity. Now, Mr. President, the House Majority Leader asked that her motion that the bill become law notwithstanding the governor's veto be rejected, that we vote no. I am personally reluctant to vote no because that could be interpreted by some people in my district as signifying my agreement with the vetoes that Governor Sheffield cast. I am equally, almost equally, reluctant to vote yes because I think that is an action of a course of futility and a course of confrontation. Mr. President, I move to lay on the table the motion by the House Majority Leader that the bill become law notwithstanding the governor's veto.
The motion is not debatable. The motion is before us.
Roll call.
Roll call is called for. The question will be, shall Senate Bill, House Bill 691, and all actions pertaining to it be laid on the table.
Parliamentary inquiry.
I'll listen to your parliamentary inquiry.
What is the President's interpretation of the effect of the motion were it adopted? Could the vetoed items be brought back up at any other time by a joint session?
You can rescind your action. And if we lay on the table, you can take off the table. Question is, shall we let Senator Ray?
Well, Mr. President, I understand that the motion was that the bill become law, notwithstanding the governor's veto, not that the bill will be laid on the table, but the motion will be laid on the table.
Yes, you're correct. The motion shall be laid on the table. And the question of the presiding officer was appropriate, and the answer was appropriate, but my original answer was not. The question is, shall the motion be laid on the table? The House wishes to be polled first. President of the Senate, we poll the House.
House members proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any House members wish to change their vote? Representative Clarkson? Representative Clarkson from yes to no. Representative Flood?
Yes to no.
Representative Flood, yes to no. Representative Szymanski?
Yes to no.
Szymanski, yes to no. Representative Locker?
Yes to no.
Clerk may take the roll.
24 yeas, 16 nays.
Secretary of the Senate, poll the Senate.
Senator Eliason is excused from the call. Senator Fahrenkamp?
Yes.
Senator Fakes?
Yes.
Senator Ferguson?
Yes.
Senator Paul Fisher?
Yes.
Senator Vic Fisher?
Yes.
Senator Gilman?
Yes.
Senator Hofford?
No.
Senator Josephson?
Yes.
Senator Kelly?
Yes.
Senator Moss?
Yes.
Senator Mulcahy?
Yes.
Senator Pettyjohn?
No.
Senator Ray? Senator Rohde is absent. Senator Sackett?
Yes.
Senator Sturgalewski?
Yes.
Senator Ziegler?
Yes.
Senator Curtula?
Yes.
Senator Bennett?
Yes.
Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary, close roll.
The roll shows 16 yeas, 2 nays, 1 excused, and 1 absent.
Secretary will tally the vote.
For a total of 40 yeas, 18 nays, 1 excused, and 1 absent.
The motion to adopt has been tabled. The next bill before us is House Bill 636. Joy Leader.
Mr. President, do you wish to take it 636 or 636?
635. I apologize for that.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate committee substitute for House Bill 635 Finance become law notwithstanding the governor's veto, and I again recommend the members vote no.
Senator Bennett.
Thank you, Mr. President. The same orchestration that applied to the previous bill applies here. There will be a chance for all of these to be done in a proper manner.
Senator Josephson.
Mr. President, I move that the motion be laid on the table.
The motion to lay on the table is not debatable. The motion is before you. You may proceed to vote. Senate will be tallied. You may proceed, Secretary of the Senate.
Senator Eliason is excused from the call. Senator Fahrenkamp?
Yes.
Senator Fakes?
Yes.
Senator Ferguson?
Yes.
Senator Paul Fisher? Senator Vic Fisher?
Yes.
Senator Gilman?
Yes.
Senator Hofford?
No.
Senator Josephson?
Yes.
Senator Kelly?
Yes.
Senator Moss?
Yes.
Senator Mulcahy?
Yes.
Senator Pettyjohn?
No.
Senator Ray?
Yes.
Senator Rohde is absent. Senator Sackett?
Yes.
Senator Sturgiluski?
Yes.
Senator Ziegler?
Yes.
Senator Curtula?
Yes.
Senator Bennett? For a total of 15 yeas, 3 nays, 1 excused, 1 absent.
Will House members proceed to vote? Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any House members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
24 yeas, 16 nays.
Secretary tally the two votes.
For a total of 39 yeas, 19 nays, 1 excused, and 1 absent.
The motion was put on the table. The next bill before is House Bill 636.
Mr. President.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move that Senate committee substitute for House Bill 636, finance become law, notwithstanding the governor's veto, and I recommend the members vote no.
Representative Duncan.
May we have a brief of these, please?
Brief of these. Mona has already moved, right?
Yeah. She's moved. She made the motion for 636. Bennett's next.
Before the recess, motion had been made by Representative Barnes that House Bill 636 become law, notwithstanding the governor's veto. She recommended a no vote. You have the floor, Senator.
Mr. President. The same orchestration reference to the first bill heard this afternoon applies. They all apply under the same. Send it back up to the governor.
Mr. President?
You have the floor, Senator Victor Fisher.
I move to divide the question and vote separately on the appropriation for West Northern Lights on page 5, line 13 from the rest of the bill.
Object.
Objections noted.
Mr. President?
You have the floor, Representative Barnes.
Move and ask unanimous consent the House stand in adjournment. The joint session stand in adjournment.
There'll be a roll call in adjournment. Question before us is, shall the joint session adjourn?
Members of the House may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
24 yeas, 16 nays.
Secretary of the Senate, poll the Senate.
Senator Eliason is excused from the call. Senator Fahrenkamp?
Yes.
Senator Fakes?
Yes.
Senator Ferguson?
Yes.
Senator Paul Fisher?
No.
Senator Vic Fisher?
No.
Senator Gilman?
Yes.
Senator Hofford?
Yes.
Senator Josephson?
No.
Senator Kelly?
Yes.
Senator Moss?
Yes.
Senator Mulcahy?
Yes.
Senator Pettyjohn?
No.
Senator Ray?
Yes.
Senator Rohde is absent. Senator Sackett?
Yes.
Senator Sturgiluski?
No.
Senator Ziegler?
Yes.
Senator Curtula?
No.
Senator Bennett?
Yes.
Does any person wish to change their vote? Secretary, close the roll.
The roll shows 12 yeas, 6 nays, 1 excused, and 1 absent.
Joint session is adjourned.
Will the House please stand at ease? Will the House please come back to order? Before the at ease for the joint session, we had moved back up the calendar to messages from the Senate. Without objection, I have an additional message from the Senate that I'd like to have read across before we return to other business.
Mr. Speaker, could I at this time call the House?
There has to be a motion on the floor to call the House, Representative Davis. But will the clerk please read the message from the Senate, and then I will recognize someone.
Excuse me, Mr. Speaker. Parliamentary inquiry.
Clerk, please read the messages from the other body.
Point of order, Mr. Speaker.
Clerk, please read the message from the other body.
Mr. Speaker, the Senate has passed committee substitute for Senate Bill Number 94, Finance, by the Finance Committee, an act making special appropriations for capital projects and providing for an effective date.
Point of order, Mr. Speaker.
See that. At this time, I'm going to refer Senate Bill 94 to the Finance Committee. Representative Clarkson, did you wish the floor?
Mr. Speaker, it's my understanding that we were beyond that point in the daily order of business, and therefore a motion was required in order to return to that point of the agenda. Therefore, the request to seek the floor by Mr. Davis was appropriate. Seems to me that it's also entirely inappropriate to fail to recognize a member who raises a point of order or a parliamentary inquiry.
Depends when the point of order and the point of parliamentary inquiry is strictly to deter the House from carrying out the business of this legislative session, I don't feel it is out of order. I did preface my remarks before I asked the clerk to read the message from the other body that before we recessed, we had moved back up the daily order of business to messages from the other body, and without objection, I would ask the clerk to read a message from the other body. And the clerk was in the process of doing that when Representative Davis interrupted and when you interrupted. And if you have, and so your point of order is out of order, and if you wish the floor,
may I have the
under
floor,
what
Mr.
basis,
Speaker?
On for what purpose? Because we are now back to messages from the Senate.
Mr. Speaker, are you ruling that my point of order was dilatory?
No.
Well, what exactly are you ruling when you can choose to ignore a point of order without knowing what it was about?
Well, the House, please stand at ease.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent the House stand in adjournment until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning, April the 11th. Mr. Speaker, I believe I still have the floor. Move to amend my motion the House stand in adjournment until 10:01 a.m. tomorrow morning. Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes.
Move and ask unanimous consent the House stand in adjournment until 10:02 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Object, and I call the House.
There is a call in the House. Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, I don't know exactly what's going on here. I simply raised a point of order because there was a member of our...
Mr. Speaker, I'm raising a point of order. The point of order is the gentleman from downtown Anchorage is out of order. The motion before us is the time that we're going to adjourn to tomorrow morning. The only discussion that is appropriate is the time of adjournment tomorrow morning.
That's correct.
Mr. Speaker, I think another subject is, Mr. Speaker, I think another subject that's appropriate is the squelching of debate on this floor, which is
occurred. Out of order, Representative Clarkson. The motion before us is to adjourn until time certain. You're out of order.
Question?
There is a call on the House. Representative Gall, you wish to...
Mr. Speaker?
Yeah, I do.
Representative Gall has the floor. Representative Gall?
Well, Mr. Speaker...
On the question.
Yeah, on the question of when we're going to reconvene, I wonder if you could clarify for me a little bit about what's in order and what isn't, if I may. As a matter of fact, whenever I step out of line, you rule me out of order, but I'd like to understand what is going on here.
Well, I will ask the House to stand at ease while you confer with Representative Clarkson and Representative Miller.
No, I'll confer
with you.
So
House, please stand at ease. Body to... adjourn to a time certain, and the motion to adjourn takes precedence over the call of the House. So, Representative Clarkson, do you wish to debate
the Mr. motion? Speaker, on the amendment to the motion to adjourn to a time certain, I'd like to ask the Majority Leader what is it that has occurred in the last half hour or so that justifies an effort to adjourn abruptly this session, and thereby a squelching debate and holding the session over till tomorrow.
Representative
Barnes. Speaker,
Barnes.
I'm raising a point of order on the questions on the debate being carried on by the representative from downtown Anchorage. He is out of order. He's not debating at a time certain.
That's correct, Representative Barnes. The motion before the body is to adjourn until a time certain. If you wish to debate that another time would be better, you certainly have the floor, but to pursue the line of questioning that you are pursuing, Representative Clarkson, is out of order.
Mr. Speaker, it's not in order to ask a question about why the amendment was offered, because that's just what I asked. That's certainly in order at any time. Why is it that we see an effort here to adjourn abruptly and cut off debate?
That, I think, is out of order. That particular line of questioning is out of order. You may ask the other person why they wish to adjourn to a time, a specific time certain, as opposed to one you might favor. But in my view, to follow that up with language to the effect that in doing so it cuts off debate is out of order.
Well, Mr. Speaker, as you well know, the recognition of the majority leader for the offering of those amendments is a procedural device to cut off debate, in fact. That's why you recognized her. She, in fact, offered one of those amendments before you recognized her. But that's technically a procedure often used by majorities to cut off debate by minorities.
Call for the question, Mr. Speaker. Question.
Representative Duncan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to ask the Majority Leader to explain to me, and I've been in this body for a long time, but explain to me why it's important that we adjourn to 10:02 instead of 10 o'clock in the morning.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think that we have other meetings that will take us just a little past 10 o'clock in the morning.
Question. Representative Gall.
Thank you. Just an inquiry, Mr. Speaker. Now, after we vote on this time certain, we then vote on adjournment. Is that correct?
No.
No.
The amendment carries the motion, sir.
The amendment carries the motion. Then is it out of order to discuss the motion as a whole since the amendment carries the motion?
The motion before us is an amendment to change the time that is normally posted in our uniform rules until a more specific time, and that is the question before you, sir.
Okay, if I may, I'd like to just clarify this in my own mind. Now, do we have a motion to adjourn on the floor that's been amended?
Twice.
Okay, twice. So there is a motion to adjourn, and then there is an amendment to the motion. And is this a special case, then, where the amendment carries the motion? I mean, normally it's just...
The amendment carries the motion when the amendment is the motion to adjourn.
Thank you very much.
Senator Duncan?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just to follow up on the Majority Leader's answer, apparently what you've got is a two-minute meeting going on, and I'm wondering, Mr. Speaker, is that your policy committee this meeting?
Are you ready for the question?
Question
is, shall the House adjourn until 10:02 a.m. tomorrow morning? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
23 yeas, 16 nays.
House stands adjourned until 10:02 a.m. tomorrow morning.